Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations, before moving into the sales arena and becoming a relationship building director of sales and marketing. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Hello, and thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels, live radio show. We're live, right? So we can't do a take two. We can't say, you know, Sam, you know, you can't share that story and let's start over. You know, we can't do that. So that's an inside joke. We'll get to that in a minute. But I do thank everyone for joining us, and I do thank my guest, my esteemed guest, for you know, taking time out of their busy schedules to join us as well. Guess what? Today is show number 59. Who would have thought that I would get to 59 shows, right? Who would think that I would get to one show, right? But it's still going. People, for whatever reason, are still interested in listening and watching. And with the advent of Zoom and all this kind of stuff, I mean, I think we've become a little bit more popular because Zoom. And in that way, this way, you know, no one has to come into the office and schedule, you know, times and things like that, or come into the studio. So you can wherever you are, if you're in your living room, like, you know, I am, or yeah, right. Or anyone else. So, I mean, it's great. It makes it easy. In fact, I've become an expert on Zoom. So that's one thing, you know, you have to pivot. I couldn't go into the studio, so you had to pivot and make other things happen. So I do thank Sam, the owner of this LA Talk Radio, as well as Ronan, our producer, director, jack of all trades. I do appreciate him for making this happen, making it possible. So thank you so much. So show 59, it's going to be a great show, right? So without further ado, we do have several people on the show today as well. Not in any particular order, but we're going to go. We got Michelle Murphy with Avery Murphy, LLC. We have Michelle Carlin with Alignment Advising. And then we have Mr. Sam, the lone guy other than me, the lone guest, which is a guy other than me, is Mr. Samuel L. Thompson with Sync Meeting Management. So I do thank all three of them for joining us. We're going to talk about leadership. We're going to talk about leadership, you know, in the midst of this COVID crisis, hospitality leadership, I may add. But, you know, before we get to that, we're going to jump into some industry news that I'm going to talk about. And then you guys feel free, if there's something you want to jump in and talk about, I mean, feel free to you know, jump in and talk. And before I get to that, if you're on Facebook Live, you want to go to LA Talk Radio, LA Talk Radio's Facebook Live page, and scroll and find us On Air with Russell of Hotels, and you'll be able to see us. If you want to share that, that'd be great as well. So I do appreciate that. So you guys can do that as well if you didn't already do it. And I'm sure Michelle, she's good at that. So she does that kind of stuff. Michelle Carlin, that is. So anyway, industry news. Airbnb is rolling out a new optional cleaning protocol for rental property hosts amid the COVID-19 pandemic. I mean, the thing that got me with this, I mean, there's more to it than just what I read, but the first sentence, it says optional. I mean, why is there an option for them to do this? I mean, I read, and this is not stuff I made up. This stuff I find, right? I mean, it's out there. It's public knowledge, but it was in industry news. So, I mean, I'm going to read that. So I'm going to read this again. It says Airbnb is rolling out new optional cleaning protocols for rental property hosts amid the COVID-19 pandemic. It's a 40-page manual will list best practices, best safety practices, including a required minimum 24 hours for guests who opt in to reduce the risk of residual germs. I don't even know what to say with that. I mean, it's something. It's funny. Sam, will you have something to say?
I'll say this. It'll become a selling incentive for those that will list. We buy into the safety protocols. It'll be a selling point for Airbnb rentals. So you'll hopefully be able to distinguish who's partaking in that service and who's not. And I think most people will partake ones that are being extra safe. So
exactly.
So I don't see how you can afford not to do it now when that'll be used against you.
Exactly.
Renting a property. So we'll see what happens. More news at 11, I like to say.
Exactly. Michelle?
Go ahead, Michelle.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you could go ahead. Hi, Russell. Hi, everyone. That's interesting. That has kind of two dynamics to it. One, I would think they want everyone to have the same type of protocol and require that from all of their hosts. On the other hand, they may be pivoting their strategy, which is to get rid of ones that were already problem ones, as far as any complaints or liability issues they have. So that would be a leadership thing that I know we're going to talk about.
I like that. Michelle Murphy?
Well, you know, I agree. Interesting is a good choice of words for making it optional, but there's just so much in this C-19 that isn't known yet. And part of what's leadership is needed for in this time is because there aren't any protocols and consistencies that are developed, and who's going to who knows which ones are right and which ones are going to be less than perfect.
That's true. I mean, that's why I'm glad I have someone on the show, because I'll be just one-sided on this. I would think, because I read it as, you know, first of all, you shouldn't have an option to do it. And then, but I never thought about, like what you said, Michelle, that there could be some hosts they're trying to, you know, kind of weed out. So that's a good way of looking at it as well. So, but, you know, there's more to it here. Let me read a little more. Okay, this is a quote from the president of Homes with Airbnb. He said, we are working with leading experts in health and hygiene in a way that will have hosts and guests uniting to offer, manage, and enjoy cleaner accommodation. And his name is Mr. Greg Greeley. So there you go. Airbnb, I don't know if you guys remember, a couple of months ago, Airbnb caught flack from hosts and guests over its cancellation and refund policy. So, you know, that was another issue that was going up, and Airbnb ended up establishing a $250 million fund to cover hosts, their refund costs, because a lot of guests were complaining that, you know, we can't stay there, but you're not going to refund, you know, our whatever money that we put into this, because we're not going to stay amid this whole COVID crisis. And I guess initially Airbnb said they weren't going to refund anything back, or at least the hosts were. And then Airbnb took it upon themselves to say, hey, okay, we'll establish this $250 million fund. So it doesn't come, I guess, from the host, from their pocket. It comes from Airbnb, the company. So, I mean, it goes without saying that Airbnb is in trouble just like anyone else, because no one's staying in anywhere at this point. So, I mean, I guess that's why I kind of said what I said initially, that, I mean, that's crazy that you have options to do this. You know, you should, amid everything that's going on, you need to jump in there and do it. But that's just me. That's just what I have to say. Let's move on. Let's move on with that. Let's see. The American Hotel and Lodging Association unveiled its Stay Safe Guidelines, an effort made in conjunction with major brands like Wyndham, Hilton, Marriott, Best Western to standardize cleanliness. So, I mean, these are things that, I guess these are standards. I mean, of course, hotels are going to take it a step further or steps further. The first one would be hand washing and hand sanitizing use. Dispensers, when possible, should be at major employee and guest entrances, contact spots such as lobby, reception, and employee entrances. Signs reminding employees and guests how to wear and handle and throw away masks. That's another one. And these are, like I said, these are standards. Major boost in cleaning practices, which I've seen a lot of companies do that already, with places like hotel guest elevators, front desk check-in situations, or check-in stations, excuse me, and public bathrooms cleaned frequently or more frequently. A request that housekeepers not enter guest rooms during a stay unless asked by the guest or otherwise adhere to established safety protocols. I heard a lot of hotels are going, they won't clean a room until they check out. So you check in one day, check in on Monday. If I don't check out till Friday, you won't see a housekeeping person in your room until you check out. And they're actually keeping those rooms vacant for at least 24 hours before they re-rent to someone else. So that's kind of standard for what I've seen or what I've heard talking to some, you know, GMs in the last week or so. And then you're going to, as far as guests, physical distancing, of course, at least 6 feet from another group of travelers. For employees, physical distancing in dining rooms, training classrooms, and more. Front desk agents should use every other workstation instead of side by side. There should be a space in between there. And then, of course, contactless check-in is encouraged when possible. So if you have the app like Marriott and Hilton and Hyatt, and most everyone has it, I think, have the option to do check-in, check your room or reserve your room and check in virtual without even going to the front desk. So, I mean, those are things that are standard from the Hotel and Lodging Association, but of course, hotel companies are taking it 10 steps further, which they should. So these are just the standards that came out. And who would have thought after all this, housekeeping would become sexy, okay? Because before, for years, you know, you didn't want to see housekeepers, you didn't want to see people cleaning in the open, you didn't want to see any of that stuff. But now, I mean, you know, Russell Edmond goes to a hotel, I want to make sure people are cleaning, or I want to see that, because there's some uncertainty about, I don't see anybody cleaning, there's no one walking around with a rag or something. You want to see that. So, and that's what I mean, because I've been using this whole housekeeping has become sexy for the last several weeks. And some people are like, what do you mean by that? What does that mean, making it sexy? Well, I think it is, because like I said, those people are at the forefront now, okay? Because before, you wanted them behind, you know, they're behind the scenes. That's back of the house. That's, you know, whatever terms we use in the hotel industry, those are things for people you don't see, basically, is what it means. But now I think it's important now that people want to see that. And like I said, I think it's become sexy now.
I like that, Russell. Clean is a new sexy, but it should have always been sexy. So,
you know, am I right? You know, am I right? So
housekeeping is bringing sexy back. It's all good.
Exactly.
But it should have always been a standard. So it will be great to see people out in the open with Lysol cans and spray bottles. It's all what we want to see now to decrease our anxiety with, am I walking into a clean, safe establishment, clean venue? So excited to see that new norm take place.
Exactly. So, okay, so let me move forward. And these are questions I always ask every week. Are you reinventing yourself? Are you pivoting, if you will? I mean, those are things that are going to, I guess, set us aside moving forward. Said, and not just me, the people on this panel. I meant people that are listening or people that are watching. The best way to predict the future is to reinvent it or to invent it yourself. So whatever that is, whatever that means to you, sometimes, you know, we got to go out there and it's a good reason why I got you three people on the show is because you guys are all creatives, and meaning you guys have had to reinvent yourself or pivot. And in fact, you're probably pivoting as we're speaking now, because there's, you know, as this situation is going, it is so fluid, is that you just can't remain in one spot. I mean, you have to keep reinventing yourself or keep pivoting, if you will. So those are if some people ask, well, you know, you have those three people on there again. I say, yeah, because one, they're creative just like I am. And we all share the same thing. We have to pivot. We've created our own businesses or our own realities or whatever you want to call it. We've created those things because of situations that we didn't either like or didn't approve of, or maybe we had to change, or maybe they made us change for it. Whatever the situation was, we had to get out and do that. So there you go. Have you seen my new IG Live show? Anybody seen that?
Yeah. Oh yeah, Russell.
Oh yeah, okay, I saw you missing. Okay. I saw you missing all those basketball shots. I saw you.
Well, that wasn't the same thing. from my experiences as an ex NBA player. But no, not that. That's not what I was referring to.
Okay,
but
just wanted to make sure.
I do like it's like 5 to 10 minute little IG live where I talk about my hospitality experiences. It's all about pivoting. I mean, we're just talking about pivoting, so this is all about pivoting, doing something a little different than the radio show is more formal. That one is kind of less formal, where I talk about, you know, my experiences, and some of these experiences are funny. Some of them are, you know, make you think or whatever. It's just something that I just came up with. I've been thinking about, you know, how people always say, oh, you know, I need to write a book and all that stuff. Well, I don't need to write a book, but I think I do need to share those experiences. And right now is the right time to start sharing a lot of these experiences that I've been having or that I've had in the past. I mean, most of these are when I was in operations, from housekeeping manager, front desk, to when I was an AGM, and then a general manager, and of course, director of sales as well. So, I mean, it goes from the first one was when I met Joe Montana, to the second one was a gentleman, an employee of ours, got his hand stuck in an iron.
The Chicago ironer. I listened to that one. Yeah, I saw that
if
one.
If anyone knows what that is. But yeah, it was one of those situations where, you know, you just like, what do you do kind of thing. But anyway, so it's kind of those experiences. I've only done two, and I'll probably try to do one a week or something like that. So just something to look out for. Contact information, how do you get a hold of Russell of Hotels? My email is russell@russellofhotels.com. I'm on Twitter, Russell of Hotels, IG, Russell of Hotels, LinkedIn, Russell L. Edmond. And I have two Facebook pages, that's Russell L. Edmond and Russell of Hotels. And then I have a website, which is www.russellofhotels.com. Get the theme? It's a common theme there, right? And we all know that once this show is over, which is a live show, becomes a podcast, so wherever you want to listen or wherever you do listen to your favorite podcast, it will be there. I'm not going to do who's on blast today, but we're all about collaborating and connecting of people, right? That's what Russell of Hotels is. That's my mantra as of the first of the year, to just connect and collaborate with as many people as I can, you know. And Sam was the catalyst for that, and you know, because for years I, you know, there's certain people that I didn't want to, well, not for years, since I had the show for a year, you know, there's certain people I said, well, I don't want them on the show because they compete against me, they do this, they do that. And well, and then Sam kind of brought it out that, you know, hey, we're all trying to just collaborate and work together and things like that, and that's exactly what this show is about, right? I mean, how am I gonna go against what I was thinking, right? And then Sam had to bring it out of me. So, and it's funny, the three people that are here, I collaborate with you guys more than I collaborate with anybody. And that's the funny thing, right? So we're working on some stuff together, all three of us. So it's good and it's fun. It's a lot of good energy. So it's you can't do this stuff alone, man. I mean, that's the thing. If you're a creative, there's other creatives that you need to bring into your tribe, if you will. Mm-hmm. And get energy going. I mean, and I get energy going every time I talk to each one of these three people. So, and that's why you've been on the show twice already, because of that good energy. And I do appreciate it. And I don't take that lightly. So what else? How is your brand staying relevant? These are questions I ask everybody, right? And I'm going to ask these three people the same question when we get into the question. But this is stuff that I always want people to think about. How is your brand staying relevant? And this is amidst what's going on, right? Number two, knowing what you know now, is there anything that you're doing differently, that you will do differently, or you are doing differently, knowing what you know now? Number three is, have you connected with anyone new? I mean, that's one thing. There's ways that we can still connect with people, right? And just because you can't see them or be in their presence does not mean we cannot reach out to people. If that's a phone call, if that's a Zoom call, whatever we need to do, we still need to do that. See how people are doing. I mean, you know, what's going on? You know, Sam was just telling me he was afraid. When he got on before the show started, he was saying that he didn't sleep last night. I thought he was sick, right? I said, well, hey, you know, you doing okay? He said, no, I was just watching a scary movie last night, and I didn't get any sleep. I said, oh, okay. Well, I mean, those are things you got to find out, right? If I never asked, if I didn't, you know, kind of, you know, I could tell something was amiss with him when he first got up, because he wasn't his normal jubilant self. So I had to ask, right, to dig. But, you know, it just goes with finding out. So now I know I got to put Sam on this list. I need to call him more often, because, you know, he may be watching these scary movies. He may need somebody to talk to. So there you go.
Where were you last night, Russell? Where were you last night when I needed you? Where were my Michelles at when I needed you? You know, so just teenage daughters, man, don't do it. It's not like the poltergeist we grew up in the 80s. It's on steroids now.
I understand. Okay, and I said, and the last one was, what has this situation taught you? You know, if, when it's all said and done, what has it taught you, and what can we do to move forward? A special thank you to Jeanette Seha, travel journalist, who was my guest last week. I do appreciate you, Jeanette. Thank you so much for coming in, bringing some energy to the show, and just talking about what we talk about, you know, the 60 countries that you went to and things like that, and just your experiences with that. The topic for today is basically hospitality leadership during these uncertain times. Now, before we get into this, I have to just reintroduce the people that are here. And now these people are in some particular order. Maybe it's alphabetical. I don't know. Michelle Carlin is number one. She's founder of Alignment Advisory Group. I'm sorry.
Advising, Russell. You got
yes.
it.
Yes, yes, yes. Samuel Thompson, partner, co-founder with Sync Meeting Management. And Michelle Avery Murphy, founder and I love this, chief groovy officer with Avery Murphy. I just love that. So I appreciate you guys taking the time to come on the show. But please, I mean, individually, you know, just kind of give me a quick synopsis, or give them a quick whatever about what you guys do. Sam.
Ladies first, man. You know the rules. Don't give me trouble.
Michelle Murphy.
Well, we do hotel site selection and contract negotiations. What we're doing is, recently, the past 2 weeks, is we've started speaking with our friends that provide audiovisual and software companies to help our clients determine some good organizations for their hybrid or virtual meetings. One of the things that we're sharing with our clients moving forward is that they should have a hybrid model. If worst case scenario / best case scenario, everybody shows up to your meeting as planned and you purchase this AV and the ability to stream your conference, you record it and have some training, capture some training elements that can have an evergreen to them that you can replay in the going forward. Worst case scenario, that you have host a meeting and this pandemic surges again in the fall, as some folks are forecasting and not sure if that fall uptick will cause us to be in another shelter in place, but it might cause people not to be comfortable traveling. So people may not show up to your meeting the way that you expected. And in the case that no one shows up, then you already have something in place to switch to a virtual meeting. So it's not a space that we've been in the past. It's a space that we're going into, not to take with us into the future, but to bridge us till the meetings industry returns to something that resembles prior to COVID-19.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ms. Michelle Carlin.
Sure thing, Russell. So you mentioned it, founder of Alignment Advising, and we are a business and professional development consulting practice. I do service the hospitality and tourism industry. That's the majority of where I've spent my career. But as an organization, we inspire both businesses and individuals to advance to their greatest potential. And that's by helping them achieve what I call. So our advisory services support organizations with strategic planning and tactical ways that help optimize marketing communications, business operations, as well as sales efforts. And then we also support individuals through coaching, through career transition, as well as providing professional development and resources enabling next level success. So we are here to support and help organizations and individuals really move through this challenging time.
Yeah, thank you. And last but certainly not least, Mr. Sam Thompson.
Yeah, good afternoon again, everybody. We've had a lot of fun, and I say that sarcastically, pivoting, learning this new norm. We're a full service agency, so we're doing the site selection, the sourcing, as well as the event logistics prior to and on site. What we've been doing before really renegotiating deals and those things, we've really been focusing on understanding our client's business model. We all have heard this, the saying, we're all in the same storm, but we're all in different boats. Well, each industry is affected differently. So we haven't moved to just rebook them for future years yet. We've looked at or do a hybrid model while we were learning those different resources that we can provide to our clients, very similar to what our Michelles are doing. We're looking at how is their industry affected? Are they a food industry? Are they a membership-based organization? Do they profit off of fundraising on live events? And then assessing what their exposure rate might have been. Some have already started to recover on their P&L in May. So they might be able to come back online sooner with live events. They might be profitable still for their fiscal year. So we're really understanding our client's business model before we look at should they dive back into live meetings. Now that may not do anything for us right now, but what we realized, if there's no organization, there's no meetings to be had anyway. So we really want to make sure our clients are okay on their bottom line before we push future meetings. They need to understand how they're going to get through this. If they had to redo, redistribute their goods, consumer goods, whatever their industry they come from. And so we've been doing more of that, assessing their bottom line before pushing forward so quickly.
Wow. You're talking about pivoting, huh? I mean, that's good. I mean, all three of you have showed that, you know, whatever's going on, I mean, you got to adapt yourself to what's going on, basically, mm-hmm. and to your client, because every client is different. Every industry is different. So those are, I love it. So mm-hmm. Let me just ask this before I get into this line of questions as far as talking about our topic is hospitality leadership during these uncertain times. I don't know if I should wait to the end of this or not, but I'm just going to ask anyway because it's my show, so I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Where have you guys seen in the last several weeks? I mean, you guys were on the show maybe about 4 to 6 weeks ago, somewhere around there. What has changed in the industry that you've seen? Because it was very new when we were on the show together. Now, where is the industry gone now? Are we any closer to having meetings and things like that? I mean, and anyone could, and all three of you should, you know, chime in and give me just a little bit on that.
I'll kick it off if you guys are okay with that.
Please.
I've been starting to do some market research just in the very beginning stages for another online course that I'd like to hold. And I spent last week catching up on lots of trade publication articles about what's happening. And one of them that I happened across that was dated for May, I want to say 14th is when the article was dated, talked about all the different states and where you could hold meetings. And not necessarily meetings, but, you know, what was happening in those states with their shelters in place. And at that time, there were only 8 states that could host people of gatherings of 25 people or more. I believe 3 of those 8 states could do 50 or more people, and the remainder of them could do 25 or more. And every other state, with the exception of Texas, and there was one other one, Texas didn't have any numbers. Texas just kind of made some couple of statements, and they didn't, you know, they didn't put any numbers to group gatherings. But most of the other states did, and there were only 8 that would do that. It was legal for groups of 25 plus to actually congregate. So until that changes, I think that fingers crossed that we start to see that happening in the fall, and fingers crossed again, there's not another spike in the numbers for the pandemic.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Thank you. Michelle Carlin.
Russell, so what I would say is when we last had this, you know, a nice discussion, the 4 of us, since then, people have been furloughed and they either are have returned to work or will be returning to work next month or have now been contacted and said you no longer have a position. So I think employment is a big issue, and that ties into the leadership discussion as well. What Michelle just mentioned, I would call, generally speaking, from a 30,000 foot view, is the continuity of what's taking place. There isn't any continuity just yet, and there probably won't be with a number of issues. You talked about the American Lodging Association with the safety protocol, or what I would call a seal of approval. I know the state of California has that as well that they're implementing, and many hotels have already gone through that program. But I think we need to get to a point of continuity where there's specific guidelines and regulations and so forth throughout the industry.
Thank you. Thank you. Sam.
Absolutely. To piggyback on what both Michelle's are speaking to, since we last all were on this forum together, we've seen event designs being rolled out, SOPs coming out from various hotels and different markets, and it's not one size fits all. I mean, some hotels are operating at 25% of meeting space capacity. So if you're taking a 31,000 square foot ballroom, you're only going to get 500 people in there. When the previous world we were in, we were pushing them wall to wall in there. We were stuffing them, you know, like your favorite teddy bear. We were stuffing it full. And now we can't do that anymore. So it's really interesting to see what's being rolled out and the different waves of things being rolled out from different hotel chains. And we're still kind of waiting to see what some of the major chains are going to be doing while we haven't gotten all the data, but new things are being rolled out weekly. So we do have some idea where we're headed, but it's still not clear road ahead on what we're all going to be doing from every hotel chain and airlines, and what is Uber drivers going to be doing? Like, we haven't connected all the dots in our industry yet, but we're getting some glimpse of what it will look. And so that is encouraging.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you. What makes an effective leader during this thing? What are we looking for? I just jump in. So what makes an effective leader? And this is, and just so, you know, people that are listening, this is from our perspective. This is from your own perspective. You know, these are your thoughts. These are my thoughts or whatever. So, so with that, please.
I'll just like to say real quick, and we'll go back and forth on this, and which I'm excited for this question. An informed leader makes an effective leader. If you're not aware of what's going on and you're not staying up to date with current affairs. It's hard to pivot any direction. So just being informed of what the latest and greatest is, because this thing is changing. Beyond COVID-19, life is moving fast and furious. So just being informed what you want your organization to be, what's out there to help you accomplish those goals. And that's really being informed. I think it's an effective leader.
So I'll add to that. I think that's fantastic, Sam. I would say that someone who is highly communicative, so you have to be able to communicate what you've been informed with, and you have to know in what way and when to do it.
Absolutely.
I like that. Ms. Murphy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just, you know, just to continue to add on to that, I think that a good leader, in addition to being well-informed and communicating very well, is someone who is collaborative, who can listen to the people on their team and the people that aren't on their team, and champion someone who might have gotten ahead of them. Because, you know, on our team, for instance, just like this call, right? You have four different people who are picking up on four different things that are analyzing it in four different ways. And to hear a little bit of that collaboration, it's not, you know, that it's a one size fits all or one person has the leadership. It's the collaboration of leaders and people who, I actually attended a networking event, and they had a retired military gentleman speaking, and he was on a ship that had gotten bombed, and he spoke about how even with military installations where they have protocols and they've been trained for when the ship gets bombed, you know everybody's been trained, they know where to go, what to do when it actually happens. Some of the leaders do what leaders are supposed to do. Some of the leaders duck and cover. Some of the people that aren't leaders step up and be leaders. And if you're the leader on that ship and you've got a leader that's ducking and covering, and you've got someone who isn't a leader that's stepping up and rising up, you've got to be agile enough to recognize who's actually leading at the time and let them lead. That's the only thing that I would add on to that is knowing when to step aside so someone who has a better grasp at the things that we're looking at move in the forefront. I think that that's part of an effective leader, especially at a time like this as well.
I love that. Very good. Three different perspectives, and I love that. And I mean, you're right. I mean, all three of you are right. It was something I was going to say.
I wanted to jump in because I love what both Michelle said, communication and recognizing you have a team of collaborators with you. Let them chime in, let them speak. We all have a voice. Let us all learn from each other. Matt Diamond, my co-founder, he's been really championing the COVID pandemic and what each city and each state and each county, what stage they're in, and how he's trickling that information to me and the rest of our team. Then I'm chiming in with the hotel experiences and what that's going to look like. And we're putting decks together to share with our clientele and with our team, so we're all on the same page, because we're all pulling from different resources all this information. So they hit it right on the nail, that communication with all the stuff we're learning is critical. But not, it doesn't all have to be funneled through Sam Thompson. It doesn't all have to go through Matt Diamond. We can do it collectively. The four of us can do it. So
exactly,
they're spot on of that.
That's good. Very good. Very good. Thank you so much. What and how is a leader different than a manager or a director of teams? You know, it's one thing to be a leader.
So I'll talk about this. So oftentimes we view, or people may view, that a leader is someone who's in a position of authority. And I would argue against that and say to what Michelle said, no, oftentimes you find people that champion different things or different, you know, situations. And so a leader is someone who stands out, who, number one, has influence. So they're able to influence others. They're able to inspire others to action and to better themselves. And they are able to help people be accountable. So just because someone is really given that title by virtue of the influence and sphere in which they operate. So it doesn't have to be someone in the business place. We are talking about business, but it could be someone in your community. It could be someone in your sphere of friends. It could be at your church or house of worship. And so it's really someone who has the ability and wherewithal to connect all those dots and connect that vision and that inspiration amongst everyone.
Yeah. So sometimes we get caught up in, because this person's been here longer, they should know everything, right? Well, I don't know how, that's never been the case in a lot of places I've been, right? The person that you think is the most senior sometimes has the least amount of experience dealing with things like this, dealing with a crisis situation. Because I've seen, and I've been in situations where general managers say it was a fire or, you know, an elevator went down or something like that. I mean, you can tell, and that's something that's minor. That's nothing like we're going through now, but you can tell just from a minor situation how they kind of, you know, get in the background and let someone else do it when, you know, we're looking for that person to lead. Okay, well, what are you going to do? Because if you're the GM, you know, everyone's looking at you to do it. And then lo and behold, someone else jumps up and say, hey, let's do this, let's do that. Has nothing to do with, you know, how your tenure was. It's just a take charge attitude or someone that's confident in their own skin and things like that. So, I mean, I don't think you can learn it. I think you have it or you don't. I mean, that's just me. But I just thought I'd add that. Sam, you want to add something?
No, I mean, I like what Michelle just said about it could be someone from your church. I think my pastor, Rodney S. Kroom, is an amazing leader when you take a church and everyone's volunteering. It's not a paid position to be important to your community. It's not a paid salary to be out there on the front lines and try to save souls or just to be a counselor, a mentor, a teacher, a coach. And so I've seen him work with so many different people, and he always gets the best out of them. And they don't even realize it till they're better. And it's like, oh, wow. You know, he convinces you to trust and walk on faith. And so I've taken some of his people management skills, his soft skills, and how he delivers a message, how he talks to people, the tone, how he can diffuse a situation. And so we look at a lot of titles sometimes as leaders, but they're not really leaders. They're paid to be that position.
Yes.
You can still hurt a corporate, you can still hurt an organization or a company being in that entitled position and not effectively lead. So we've had to humble some of our clients and say, hey, we know you know your industry, but this is our world in the hotels. This is our expertise. Just humbly listen. Let us show you how we can save you money. Exactly. And that's an effective leader to not just manage something, but to listen to others that maybe they don't know that industry well. So, or how to work in some new arena. So it's been cool to see how my pastor's taught me some skills here to apply in my current role with Sync.
Cool. Very good. Can you think of someone that has stood out to you as a leader in the hospitality space during this whole COVID thing?
I can think of one person that's really stood out. Michael Dominguez, been really good about he's done a weekly check-in on what's going on. One of our team members sits on those calls and reports back to the team what's happening. But he's always has been a great educator in our space, shares a lot of the statistics and how he's come about his opinions based on the facts that he's gathered. I think that he does a really great job in our space. Be one of the people.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Anyone is that? Yet anyone else?
I'll add to that. I thought that Mr. Marriott, when this all first happened and they had to furlough their employees and really respond to this crisis in particular, Mr. Marriott did several videos to his employees. And that to me is an example of a leader because, you know, getting out in the forefront and being sensitive in the delivery of the message, but also being honest and just very clear in his communication, I thought that was effective.
I would agree with that as well.
I got one for you, Russell. You're going to like this. You're going to like this. You're going to love this. I'm going to get my DJ voice going. You're going to love this. You know I got to mess with you a little bit. Honestly, I think it's been the people. I've seen our industry rally together in a way I've never really seen before. They're doing Facebook pages. They're sharing their stories of encouragement. Who's been furloughed? You're not alone. Those things I've seen, that forum just grow and blossom. LinkedIn's been amazing for information from all of our hotel industry folks and just the sharing of data, information, podcasts, webinars to join in on to stay educated and in front of this as much as possible. Our industry has really done a great job in keeping things moving forward, even when we're in a holding pattern. And that's been amazing to see, the camaraderie, CVB folks reaching out to do Zoom calls and just see how we're doing with our business and how can they help or how can we help them? It's been a dual back and forth conversation. I really have enjoyed the engagement level's been heightened during this pandemic. And so you asked for one person, but I have to say our people, our industry's done a great job and they should be commended too.
I like that. I like that as well. I've talked to, just like you guys, I talk to people almost on a daily basis that are in our industry, just to get a pulse of what's going on and what they're working on and things like that. And, you know, some of the things they're coming up with is phenomenal. I mean, they're not just sitting around doing nothing. They're trying to make things better for when we do come back. And even before you get back, they're, like you said, Sam, they're reaching out. They're saying hello. They're, you know, getting a post from that particular clients or those particular clients, or they're trying to, you know, get ahead of this whole thing. I mean, I talked to one CVB where I think you had mentioned it earlier, Sam, where, you know, normally 1,000 people would be in this particular space where they have to figure out diagrams for, you know, this whole spacing and things like that now. So, I mean, there's a couple of CVBs that were ahead of everyone else. Because I talked to CVBs and they're like, well, we don't know what we're doing. We haven't heard anything. Well, this other one, and I don't want to put them out there at this point, but they were ahead of the and it's a Southern California CVB, and they were ahead of the curve. What everyone else was still twiddling their thumbs, trying to figure out how do I redo these diagrams. This person was ahead of doing it. And I heard this from, it wasn't just because I had conversation with them. Another meeting planner had told me, he said, hey, this CVB is on it. They're, you know, they gave me new diagrams, you know, with the social distancing specs and things like that. And they're trying to make some stuff happen over there. And that's what it's all about. So, yeah. So it's across the board, it's the industry, but you know, this is just a time to, you know, if you had one particular person that you knew about mm-hmm. that was maybe making an impact in your circle or whatever. I always want to throw people out there, especially mm-hmm. when they're, because we're quick to say when somebody's doing something wrong, right? But sometimes it's hard to pat somebody on the back. So I do appreciate you guys. Yeah. And yeah, whoever that is, I mean, I do appreciate that. So
Russell, let me add to that if I can.
Sure.
You mentioned something that I think is super important that we address, and that is that a leader recognizes their team and the group of people that really make things happen. Mm-hmm. And that's in any situation. It's not just during a crisis. And of course, it's amplified during a crisis. But mm-hmm. recognizing your team and giving credit where credit is due is hugely important.
Exactly. And then I have to read this. If a leader is now absorbing duties that their managers/coordinators, admins were doing after having to lay off their teams due to COVID, how can they maintain a balance between leading a smaller team and leading themselves? I need to read that again.
Sure, please.
If a leader is now absorbing duties, extra duties that they weren't doing before, that their managers or coordinators or admins were doing after having to lay off team members. So I'm a leader, I'm a manager, whatever, I'm an owner of this particular company. Now I don't have anyone else. I laid off my managers, I laid off my admin. Now I have to absorb what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
How can they maintain a balance between leading a smaller team and leading themselves?
They got to get their hands dirty. Otherwise, you're gonna miss a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, care about your team or your company or whatever you're doing, your role, you're gonna get your hands dirty. Keep the fight. Keep pushing everything forward. Otherwise, you're gonna lose your team.
So, Russell, I think that a leader who has maybe a smaller team or is now maybe absorbing a lot of other responsibilities that they had someone that they could originally delegate that to, it's all about having an ability to kind of switch gears back and forth. So if you're a leader and you're used to just delegating to a team and having them do things, and now you have a smaller group and now you're doing some of this, you have to know how to prioritize. You have to know how to schedule something, maybe a time where you're only doing manager level stuff versus handling big picture issues. So it's really just being able to adapt.
And I would just like to add to that is leaders, I'm hard pressed to think of anyone who didn't get to where they were by moving through something to get there. So I share with my new team members, they come to me with a challenge, an opportunity, however you want to color it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, well, Michelle, you don't have any idea because of what I've grown into. They see where I am today and they don't know what I did get where I am today. And I use since we're talking hospitality and leaders in the boxes, the hotels, you know, I use the analogy, who do you think used to clean the toilets? I used to clean the toilets before I had a housekeeper. I know how, I don't clean them anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't know how to clean them or when to clean them or you know, how to do that. I know when to delegate. So to just add on to what Michelle said is it's about prioritizing and you know, ideally, we'd like the toilets to be cleaned every day, but do they have to be cleaned every day? If they don't have to be cleaned every day, maybe they only need to be cleaned once a week. Then we have to figure out where to stop doing it so that we can make time to do the things that will get the rest of the team behind us again.
Love it. Love it. I was having this conversation with a GM a couple of weeks ago, and he said, man, this is I've never had to work so hard in my life. I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, I have to be smarter now. I mean, and it comes back to prioritizing what he's doing, Michelle, because they've had to lay off a lot of people, right? And things that he wouldn't have to deal with, now he has to deal with. I said, well, this is the time when you are managing. I mean, before, you're letting everyone else manage. For the most part, you're giving people, you know, leeway to do their jobs. But now everything is coming to you and you have to, it's harder to manage a slower hotel than it is to manage a busy hotel. I mean, that's one thing that I, as a former GM, have learned that if it's busy, I mean, there's stuff going so quickly that, you know, your bottom line is take care of the guests and things like that. But and you're not watching a lot of costs because the business is coming in. But when you just take that same scenario, now you don't have any business coming in. Guess what? You got to manage all those costs. The same costs are coming in for the most part. I mean, you still got mortgage payments. You still got those things to pay, but maybe you're not paying as much in cleaning costs and things like that, but you still have to manage it because everything, the amount of revenue that's coming in has been reduced. So, you know, and he comes from experience with, you know, working at the front desk and all, you know, probably everything within a hotel he had done before. So now, all that stuff, you know, all those experiences are now coming back. And yeah, he is busting his tail, but, you know, he knows what he has to do. And Yeah, it's hard, but I mean, you can still tell he still had a little pep in his step, right? He was still smiling, and it hadn't killed him yet, right? And he's trying to work. And his thing was, I'm trying to work to get my people to come back. You know what I mean? So whatever I need to do in order to get these people back, that's what I do. So, I mean, you talk about leadership and things like that. I mean, this guy, and I don't know if I should, Joe Tatisian with the Hilton in Pasadena, excuse me. He's a friend of mine. I worked with him before, but I know the type of leader he is. It's funny. I worked for him before, and I worked with him. So meaning we came up together, and then he became a GM, and then I worked for him as a DOS several times. So, so I know how he is, and I know exactly what he meant. But yeah, it's just one of those situations where, hey, you got to dig in. And there's no blueprint for this, right? If you're a leader before this, you're a leader now, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it goes back to what we talked about a little while ago. But yeah, so you have something to say, Sam? So you look like you had something to say.
I'm good. I'm gonna let you hold serve for now.
All right. Well, you know what? It's funny, but we only got 3 minutes left. So
what?
Isn't that something? We get on a roll, and I got like 10 more questions to go. But anyway, we can do another show. That is not
pay them bills later, man. Let's go through your next 10 questions. Come on. I'm just warming up. I'm just now getting caffeine down me. Come on, I'm ready now. Let's go.
One more question, and this is just off the top of my head. When do you think things will rebound? Well, and it's whenever it is. I mean, it's whatever you think, whatever you feel.
Next summer.
Okay.
And between that time, I'm going to stay close to these two Michelles. I'm not letting them go.
Yes.
You know, Michelle Carlin's got this business called Alignment Advising. And I know I need to call her because my company's called Sync. So we synchronize. So we just got to align. We got to get all this stuff together. So we're going to stay close. Yeah. And me and Michelle Murphy have already been collaborating. And there's things she's going to be rolling out that's going to be amazing for our industry, our hospitality salespeople. And I'm reviewing the YouTube today, Michelle, so you'll get my feedback. I'm okay with the slow time right now for a little bit longer because I want to see and be able to assess this is a new world. I haven't experienced what this looks like yet. You know, when we advise our clients, we go into a hotel, we tell them what to expect. I don't know what to expect right now. I haven't eaten in a restaurant. I haven't stayed in the hotel with the new cleaning procedures and all those things and housekeeping coming once a week or however long you're there. It's all new. So I want to experience it first. But I would say big, big meetings probably by next summer.
Okay. Very good. Michelle Murphy, you got 30 seconds.
big meetings, I would agree with Sam next summer. I think that we'll start to see some steady, smaller meetings begin. My fingers are crossed for fourth quarter, but definitely first quarter of 2021 is when we'll start to catch some traction, is what I'm thinking.
Okay, cool.
Best case scenario, fourth quarter. But first part of 2021, I think we'll start to see some momentum moving a little bit.
All right, cool. Michelle Carlin, you got 20 seconds.
Oh, thanks. So rebound implies we're going back to normal, Russell, and we're not going back to normal. We're creating a new normal, and I think that's a good thing. When you're talking about meetings, I'm confident as well that maybe mid to late next year we'll return to more what we're familiar with as meetings, quote unquote. But I would encourage people to just use this opportunity to, like you say, how do you remain relevant? How do you reinvent yourself? How do you pivot? And one of those things is to always be sure that you are taking care of your own well-being. And that, I will conclude, is someone who is a leader, is someone who takes care of their own well-being so that they can serve others.
Amen. I can't say anything else.
Amen. That's amen to that. Language right there.
Very good. I want to thank you three again for being on the show. I don't take it lightly. I mean, you guys are are great at what you do. And I mean, the knowledge that you guys have shared with us is phenomenal. So I do appreciate that. Michelle Murphy, Michelle Carlin, Sam Thompson. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. We'll talk again. And Michelle, we're going to connect this week, I believe.
Friday.
There you go. All right. Very good. All right. You guys take care. If you have any questions for me, you can always call me, email me, however you guys want to get in contact with me. But anyway, thank you so much again. Have a great day. Have a great week. And Sam, stay away from watching those scary movies. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye,
thanks, Russell.
Bye, ladies.
Bye.
Talk to you real soon. Bye,
talk
guys.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Please tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as we talk to other hospitality professionals. Your feedback is important. Email Russell at russell@russellofhotels.com with any questions or suggestions. Until next time, try not to be a person of success, rather become a person of value.